Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text this morning is a portion of the epistle lesson written by John the Evangelist. And we begin this morning at the sixth verse. John writes, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." This is the word of the Lord given to us this morning, and our theme, Jesus, our advocate. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, there's an interesting word, advocate. To ask that classic Lutheran question, what does that mean? What is an advocate? The biblical definition is one who is called to one side, the one who is called to help or to aid, the one who is able to assist. Jesus, our advocate, is used by John to comfort us and to reassure us with the truth of our Lord's work at his Father's right hand. Now, this letter of 1 John, many people call it an epistle, but dear ones, it's actually a treatise. It's a theological exposition. It's an apology or a defense. It's a defense for you, a defense for the church, that is to be used against false teaching and false teachers. Did you know that within 50 years of our Lord's teaching, of our Lord's death and resurrection, that false teachings arose? Jesus had only ascended into heaven only 50 years prior. You see, the devil is always at work. And as soon as Jesus ascended into heaven, he began sowing his evil seeds of lies and false teachings so that many would be led astray, and many were. This heretical teaching that John is writing against is a form of Gnosticism. Gnosticism is taken from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. So therefore, the teaching was that if you have the right knowledge, if you are one who is a special one, one who is holy, you can transcend and leave this sinful body. The sinful body was evil. The sinful body was of no use. And therefore, you can ascend by using your mind, by using your knowledge. You could ascend into the presence of God. And there before God, because of your wisdom, you could be acceptable to him. It is by what you know that would make you right with God. Now that's interesting, isn't it? What did John write for us? Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's exactly what these people, these false teachers, were teaching. They were saying that they were sinless ones because they were in the know. They had the knowledge. And therefore, they had left their sinful body, and they were now holy by what they were doing. But John says, this actually is the Holy Spirit speaking through John, is telling us, his little children, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You see, this word deceive is a very interesting word. The root word, the Greek word that is used is an English word that we get the word planet from. And what does a planet follow? A planet follows its orbit. A planet is always in orbit, and it never deviates. It is placed there by God. If the Earth would shift on its orbit, even a couple of degrees closer to the sun, we would burn up, or away from the sun, we would freeze. But God, in His grace and mercy, has set the Earth in a perfect orbit so that we can enjoy this wonderful weather. But in John's writing here, one who deceives himself is one who roams away from God's word. One who roams away, who leaves the orbit from around Jesus. And they begin to think that they can do it all on their own. They become a planet unto themselves. They are in the know. They are it. And if you listen to me, they say, then you'll be in the know, and I will save you. Jesus says that they are deceiving themselves, and the truth is not in them. Now, there's another interesting word, truth. Remember Pontius Pilate? What was his famous question? You all know it. What is truth? And when Pilate asked the question, ironically standing right before him, was truth. Truth, in the biblical definition, and as John uses it here in the context of his apology, truth is the divine reality that is revealed to you and me and to all people by the thought and by the person and by the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reality of truth. Jesus is truth. He is absolute truth. And it is this truth, dear ones, that saves you. Do you remember what Jesus told Thomas, ironically Thomas, as they were in the upper room? He said to Thomas and to all of his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You see, dear ones, by following these people who are planets unto themselves, who are out here flying through space and they have no orbit whatsoever, they are very dangerous people because they have no truth in them. They have not Jesus. Rather, they have a spirit of deceit, a spirit of the evil one. The truth is not in them. They are liars. And even though they may say that they're Christians, if the truth is not in them, then Jesus is not in them. And they truly are liars. Then John states something that's very important, and very important for all of his disciples, very important for the church. What does he say in verse 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a straightforward confession and absolution. What is John writing for us? He's telling us that we must confess our sins. And when we do confess our sins, we must believe in our heart that Jesus is faithful and that He is just and that He will forgive our sins and that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear ones, you have been cleansed. You have been cleansed right over there. There at the font, you have been cleansed. Your original sin washed away. The name of God written upon you. And in your confession, God will hear because you are dear to Him. You are His child. But it doesn't stop there. God knows that we're sinners. He says it Himself. Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Notice that God says all have sinned, not some, but all men, women, and children sin. It doesn't matter their age. It doesn't matter their status. It doesn't matter if they're Lutherans or if they're from Shum. You are sinners. I am a sinner. But what does God say? When we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is always faithful. He will always tell us the truth. And therefore, he is just. And since he is just, he will give us a right verdict. And the right verdict for you and me is that we are forgiven, that we are cleansed from all of our sins because of what Jesus has done here. And dear ones, because the tomb is empty. But if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. You see how dangerous this is? People who say that they do not sin, they are liars. But when they say they do not sin, they are calling God a liar when God has already said that they're sinful. And when people call God a liar, it should be clear to us that the word, the Logos, Jesus Christ himself, is not in that person. Exactly what John is saying this morning. If a person calls God a liar, if they say that they are holy and they are perfect by what they do, then the word is not in them. And you must not listen to them. You must not follow them, for they will lead you astray. They will lead you out into the wilderness of sin, death, and destruction. And on the great last day, you will hear those awful words of Jesus, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." My little children, John says, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You know, John is saying to us, it kind of sounds like he's saying, well, you know, we may not sin, but when we do, well, this is kind of a Greek anomaly here. And it's kind of hard to translate into English. But what John is saying is, my dear friends, you have been forgiven of your sin, but you will sin again. There's no doubt about it. You will sin again. And when you do sin, you have an advocate. You have an advocate with the Father who is in heaven. And that advocate is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So here we come to this important word of advocate. As you heard with the children, the advocate is the one who, like dad, alongside the bicycle, running alongside to make sure their child wasn't hurt. Jesus does the same thing. He stands next to us, and he is your advocate. He's the one who stands in your stead, so that you will not die the eternal death. So when we stand before God and God sees our sinfulness, Jesus, who is our advocate, our defense attorney, he steps forward. He steps forward for you and he says, Father, I have already paid for his or her sin. Look, Father, what I have done. I am their advocate. And because I am their advocate, I am the righteous one, Father, you must forgive. And the Father does. The Father will declare you not guilty. That's the importance of Jesus being your advocate. He is the one who pleads your case. And how can Jesus do this? Well, we know that the law condemns us, but who fulfilled the law for you? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Therefore, Jesus knows your plight. He knows your sin. He knows, dear ones, what you're going through. He knows your suffering. He knows your anguish. Therefore, Jesus is the worthy one. He is the one who is able to step forward and to say, Father, I have suffered all of this. I have suffered this for him or her. And Father, yes, Father, you must forgive. And the Father agrees, and he forgives you. Why? Why forgive? Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus is the worthy Lamb of God. He is the one, as it is written in the book of Revelation, he is the one who is worthy to open the scroll. He is the one who is worthy. He is the one who is worthy to stand before God and be your advocate. There is no other. There is no other human being, there is no other person who have ever lived who is worthy to stand by your side and announce to the Father that they have paid for your sin. Only Jesus Christ is the worthy one. And that's why we worship him. That's why we worship Jesus Christ, the very Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world, as we hear here in the second verse of the second chapter. Jesus is the atonement. He is the atonement for your sin. And not only for your sin, but for the sin of the entire world. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the sin sacrifice. He is the one who became sin for you. He who knew no sin became sin so that you will have salvation. Dear ones, there is no other one that we worship. There is no other man on earth or below the earth or above the earth who can save us, save one, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the atoning sacrifice. Jesus, thanks be to Jesus that he has poured out his blood so that you may live forever in the kingdom of God the Father. Thanks be to Jesus, our advocate. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.